pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, is there other public comment? Welcome. And welcome, Terry.
Thank you.
Okay, so, new business. Port legal contract.
So I wanted to set this up. As you know, we're in the middle of the budgeting process, and so we're looking at all avenues and expenses. We all are aware that legal takes a big chunk of our budget, and so we're examining where we're going, what we're doing, and how we want to proceed next year. This isn't a discussion about our satisfaction with our present counsel. This is more a discussion about what the commission desires us to do in the future. As you know, we have a contract with Goodstein Law Group. There's a copy of that. And the fee structure is they have a retainer. So the first year that Carolyn has been here, she's charged $3,000 a month as a retainer. And that gives us 15 hours of legal service at a reduced rate. So that equals that $3,000. Anything over that, she charges us $240 an hour. And then for any litigation, she charges us $290 an hour. So the question is, and it's in my mind, I review invoices every month, and there's a lot of months that go by that we don't use 15 hours of legal services. That's first issue. So the question is, do we want to continue with the retainer? The second question is, do we need an attorney at every one of our regularly scheduled meetings? So that's another question I'd like to pose to the commission. With that, we have had contact with Schmelick Sitkin, who was one of the finalists in last time the commission made a decision. And Frank Schmelick still expresses a desire that he'd love to work with the Port of Kingston if given an offer, or given an opportunity, I should say. So it's kind of an open discussion on where we are and how the commission would like us to proceed next year for budgeting purposes.
Could you give us a précis of Schmelick Sitkin's rate schedule? Just as a comparison.
I did that at the last meeting. I'm sorry. I didn't bring that
okay.
with me. He is
I
more...
I do have that.
Okay.
Last time here.
Okay.
What he says in here is, quote, we currently charge all ports and the WPPA a discounted municipal government rate of $250 capped. This is a discount from our standard hourly rates for various attorneys. The term quote-unquote capped means that our regular hourly fees for all attorneys in our office are capped at $250 for all attorneys, where a lawyer's standard hourly rate is over that amount. For example, my standard hourly rate is $320. So what I interpret that to mean is we're going to have a standard rate of $250 an hour for all services.
And no retainer.
What's that?
No retainer program.
No retainer, right.
Mm-hmm.
Just a question, do you know if two attorneys are involved at the same time, is it two times 250?
From my experience, it depends on the circumstance,
yeah.
And it's kind of usually within the discretion of the,
okay.
Again, from my experience, the lead attorney. If I brought a young associate into a deposition, for example, or into a meeting, I might regard that as training time. I want to expose this attorney. On other occasions, it might be because that person adds some value, for example, specific background in a topic that would be helpful to the circumstance. So I would just say my experience.
Okay.
I would be very interested in having an opportunity to re-interview that firm, given that when we did the last round, I knew a lot less about this whole process than I do now. And so I would have probably a different set of questions to ask. So that's a piece I'd like to put on the table.
Going back to one of the things that you mentioned, Jim, about do we need an attorney at every meeting? My personal opinion is not. There's a tendency, and we saw it not with Carolyn, but with prior attorneys, to give a quick answer to a question. And sometimes the quick answer isn't the best answer. And there's sort of an expectation that if we ask the attorney a question, he or she has to answer it. Whereas if we are able to pose the question to them later, where they can think about it, maybe bounce it off a colleague or two, we get a better result. And it's very rarely, I would say, that we need an instantaneous answer to something, if ever.
And in those cases, what I would like to see happen is for the answer to come back to all three of us in writing. Mm-hmm. Because we've had the experience where a question got asked, and I realized later somebody knew the answer, but I didn't. So.
That's a good point.
Treat us as joint clients,
right?
Essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Treat us as joint clients,
right.
Effectively, in terms of providing information.
As long as we don't have a dialogue back and forth with all three of you and the attorney,
right.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Jim should, I think, be our primary contract. Absolutely. With attorneys, unless, of course, he's the subject of the discussion.
he
can disseminate the information.
We did have that arrangement, mm-hmm. with a previous attorney where all requests would go through the director. So you wouldn't have different commissioners asking basically the same question,
yeah.
or running up the bill unnecessarily when the answer had already been provided.
Yeah. And I wasn't even suggesting that the answer always needed to come to us in a memo, but rather from you in a memo. This is what I
sure.
got back.
Sure.
So. I think Frank said he could teleconference,
yes.
attendance, so that would mean no travel time,
right?
Because he's up there. And
yeah, as you know, that Frank does charge travel time and Carolyn doesn't. So the minute he gets in his house from his house in Bellingham, it's a long trip. So he does do teleconferencing, both audio and video. He'll do a video conference if needed. If not, we can certainly do teleconference too.
So we could attend a meeting telephonically.
Yes.
So, for example, an executive session.
Right.
Right.
We need an attorney for that. We could do that telephonically. Right. So that would reduce mm-hmm. reduce that risk of travel talk costs. Yeah.
Do we have video teleconferencing?
We don't.
Okay.
I mean, that's certainly something we can get. We do have a good audio teleconferencing system, phone thing that we can use here, and Village Green has one for our regular meetings for audio.
Yeah, and we've used that in the past,
right.
with, I think, good rate of success.
I think I'm with Bruce on this, not having an attorney there, because if we get asked a question, I would like to think about that and that before saying, oh, attorney, what do you think? So I think it helps us to get to process the information if it's a legal question that you need to do. So it works. I think it helps the attorney's quality of the answer and our ability to respond to questions that have a legal aspect to them. But we could say, well, here's our answer, but we still need to.
The only downside is that, and I've seen not a lot of value to having them here at every meeting, but the potential downside is that we're thinking about something in a particular way, and from the attorney's perspective, from the legal perspective, there's another way of looking at it that we didn't take into consideration. And so our whole structure of the question, the issue, they won't have the opportunity to say, no, wait a minute, consider this, because of how we formulate it. But
how does Pulsewood do it?
Pulsewood, as Frank Schmelick is their attorney, they only use him when they need him. They do not have him attend meetings, and very rarely do they actually have him on audio. Brad is very happy with his service. And I've got to say on the record that, you know, Frank and Carolyn are the two resident authorities on pork business. I mean, we can't really lose with either one of them because they're both experts.
Yeah, I've been kind of watching the monthly statements as well, and there's been times when we've gone over the 15-hour minimum, but I think on overall yearly average, I haven't checked it lately, but the last time I did, we were a little below the 15-hour average.
What if we got rid of the retainer?
That's certainly an option. So I think the options we have are staying the course where we are. There is going to be an increase in this contract the second year of $75.
So what does that make the hourly?
I don't know, but it would go up to
$5 an hour, 75 over 15.
So that's one option. The other option is to change legal counsel abruptly, which doesn't make a lot of sense either. In my mind, I think the best option is what you recommended, is go out for a request for proposal and let's open it up to other attorneys, and maybe we get four or five that would like to make a proposal to the port, and interview them and pick the best fit for our port at this time.
Because I don't actually see a reason to end this contract before the end of the year.
No, not at all. This is for next year's budgeting purposes.
To Mary's point, though, I do feel, I have some comfort that we do have a lawyer on the board. So if you see something going off the rails legally.
Ex-lawyer.
Okay, recovering attorney-holic or whatever. But we do at least have some expertise, and Jim's very experienced, so we're not as vulnerable as we used to be when we didn't have that talent on the board.
Yeah, that gives us something that Carolyn did catch one time, when going back to your point, that we were talking about. I think it was the Fast Ferry election, and we were talking about just what could or couldn't we do, and she did point out to us at one point, mm-hmm. be careful, you know, she just raised the red flags of what you can and can't do. So there are times when it is worthwhile, but I think that having them attend every meeting, the cost-benefit ratio just doesn't work out much.
Well, if we could video conference whoever in every meeting, I think that would be potentially a good thing, or part of a meeting or whatever.
I think the MRSC is an excellent resource that can help us maintain our costs, since they're experts in municipal governance issues, and they usually have a lot of information they can provide you on those issues.
The one caution on that is have Jim send an email or to our attorney to ask a question, we get an answer, that's protected by the attorney-client privilege. Sure. If we contact MRSC and get an answer, that is not. Mm-hmm. So even though it may be legal advice, it's not protected from disclosure.
That's good to know. I never
thought about that. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So there's certain things you wouldn't do. And they probably would not advise you on that.
So will you move ahead to set up a reevaluation and request for proposals?
Sure, I would do the whole thing. I just wanted to know the commission's desire on how to move forward. I think that's a very fair way to do it. And
I would like for the timing of it to be, if we didn't feel like there was too big a gap, to be in when Laura is on the board, no offense to you all, but she's going to live with the results of it and also has some legal awareness that I think might be useful in.
Laura could, regardless of when we do, when we have the interviews, Laura could participate in the discussion because she's subject matter expert and respective commissioner. And I certainly don't feel, and I wouldn't vote on it because it would be you guys that live with it. So I think you can feel comfortable that way.
Well, I'd like to make sure that there was, in fact, three votes, and so the time.
So you want to schedule it for January, then? Is that what I'm hearing?
Or I don't know what the swearing-in situation is in terms of dates. I know I was sworn in earlier than January. It was in December, I believe.
Okay.
So
well, let me review that.
The issue is just seeing how the contracts end. If
absolutely.
You know, how does the contractual arrangement work with Goodstein?
Right.
You know, do you have to have...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then a lot of attorneys will just advise you before you have a contract.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't necessarily have to have the contract nailed down. You terminate one, you don't necessarily have
to
have
one. So I think what we're basically coming down to is that you'll go ahead and look at a schedule and see what can work to achieve all of those ends. And the whole interview process, if we get that done before the end of the year, that Laura will participate in that, and you'll set it up and make it happen.
A question.
Great.
Does anyone remember what the parameters were that made Carolyn the one that we chose?
I wasn't here at the time, so.
I think it was a combination of factors that I recall. One is, as Jim pointed out, the two leading experts in this area are Carolyn Lake and Frank Schmelick. I think Carolyn's, for one thing, Carolyn was able to be here the day of the interviews. Frank was not, because he had just had oral surgery of some kind. So somebody filled in for him, and it was, it was a little harder to make that decision when he wasn't there being the actual one to talk with us. I think that Carolyn had, at that time, a couple of people on her staff. One that I recall was an attorney who had been a judge and a port commissioner. So that gave us, you know, a really good deep bench to work from. I don't think he is still with that firm. But that was, you know, again, one of the factors.
Those were determining factors.
Yeah. There were others, I'm sure, but those are the couple of things that come to mind.
I was very appreciative of what I understood to be her appreciation for the community role in port matters. We were at that time quite in the thick of kind of figuring out what our footing was in regards to the next steps on the public records lawsuits and so on and so forth, and I appreciated her perspective. She didn't make the assumption that the plaintiff, is that what you call them, the plaintiff, was wicked, and I appreciated that.
She did do a rather significant suit for the Port of Tacoma or City of Tacoma public records work, so that was a factor that she'd actually been in the courts and dealt with that. And I thought that was a good experience to have should we end up there.
Yeah. Port of Olympia, too, as I recall.
Yeah.
How long has she been with the Port of Kingston?
A year and a half.
Going back to the timing question, I can appreciate the benefit of having Laura involved in it. I don't want to delay too much. If we can set up a schedule that provides for interviews in October, November, so and Laura participate in those, so we know where we're going, and we don't have to wait till January to make to determine what we're going
to
do. And then
have to negotiate.
Because the attorneys need to know for their own planning as well. Whether this is going to be on their plate or not.
I was just thinking maybe a little bit. It's, should litigation come up that will carry over into the next year, you may want to, while retaining one, having one attorney, have the attorney who's going to be your attorney pick up that case so there's not an interruption of legal counsel.
That's a good point. Yeah, and the odds even of our current litigation ending before December 31st are unknowable at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have a decision.
Do you need a motion?
I'd like a motion, yeah.
And move that the executive director move forward on putting out our, what do you call it?
Request for proposal.
The contract. Mm-hmm. Yeah, request contract on general legal services.
Friendly amendment,
yeah,
including developing a schedule that meets the various needs of the situation.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you.
So go.
Is there anything else from the board?
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
There's this pregnant pause there.
Any other comments from staff?
Yeah. Just an update. You know, the office building is going famously. Drywall's being hung today. The siding's going up today, starting. So I am very impressed with that. Covered mortgage is now moving at a faster pace since the owner of the company is back in town. He has cracked the whip, and that's good to see. So everything's good. I sat all day yesterday in a deposition, and Mr. Malone did a very good job. He did a great job. It was a long, arduous process. It was 8 hours of drilling, and so that's done.
Black boat, red boat?
Black boat is formally impounded. The Coast Guard is aware of it. The Coast Guard has contacted the owner and said, why are you doing this? They just spent almost $20,000 to get the COI, the Certificate of Inspection, done for the boat. And the Coast Guard just can't believe they're going to abandon it. I have not heard from the owner, but the letter of impound stated the impound fee and the money owing. It will go to auction December 12th. And I've already had five people say I want it. I mean, if by December the boat will probably owe us about $25,000 to $30,000, it will be a deal for someone to buy that boat for that price. Red boat, no activity on. Still waiting. So,
have you made contact with John Clausen about that?
No, we have not. But I have been talking to Casey Harrington almost on a daily basis. We conversed yesterday. So we're talking about improvements needed to the dock. We've gotten most of the quotes, and we're looking at close to $500,000 total. So now Casey and I are going through and figuring out what's necessary. What do you really need to do? I talked to the Port of Bremerton two days ago, and they're putting in a new fueling station for the passenger ferry, and we're trying to figure out, should the Kingston boat fuel in Bremerton? It's $167,000 to run fuel lines out to our dock. And Casey's got to make the decision, is it worth almost $200,000 to fuel here versus Bremerton? So that's some of the things we're going to talk about.
Just kind of an ignorant question, but what would be the fuel rate to run to Bremerton from here just to fuel up? Is that a big factor?
It would be, actually, it would probably be a couple hundred dollars just to get to Bremerton one way in fuel. Those engines burn about 50 gallons an hour each, and there's three of them, so 150 gallons an hour.
You said 500, 200 each way?
Yeah. So all of that is still for discussion, and I really want to make Kitsap Transit make the decision, because whatever decision they make on what they want is going to be what their payment to the port is going to be. We are working on an 8% cap rate, so if it costs $500,000, their payments are going to be $7,000 a month to the port. They'll make that decision. I do think that what we affectionately call the gerbil tube needs to be renovated. Something major needs to happen there. And I have Rick giving us some ideas of what he would do. And so we have a scope of price. We're looking close to $150,000 to rebuild that, to insulate it, light it, carpet it, you know, really make it something that people can actually stay in.
I think there needs to be a competent evaluation whether that's safe for 300 people. I don't know. Fire marshal, is that a safe place to keep 300 people? We never had that many people in it. And
right.
Theoretically, that's what it could carry.
Mm-hmm. I was in Seattle yesterday looking at what the Rich Passage is using right now, and they've used it's basically a satellite shelter, you know, one of the fabric shelters, a long narrow one mm-hmm. that they hold people on. But they're not holding them on a dock, they're holding them on an actual concrete pad.
Well, they could wave up at the under the overhead for the state ferries, that's an open area, mm-hmm. and then go down when the boat comes in, a little right. more loading time, and then you could replace it with an open brow. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of options.
Yep.
Is the, I find it hard to use the term affectionate when referring to the gerbil tours. Have we looked at, you know, the just abandon the gerbil tubes and start over as an alternative mm-hmm. to trying to renovate them, and how did that pencil out?
Everybody I've talked to, Bob and Rick, think that that would be more expensive. That they think renovating the gerbil tube is probably going to be cheaper.
But cheaper isn't always necessarily better. At the end of the day, would we have more bang for the buck by clear it off and start over? I'm thinking about remodeling a house. Sometimes the best is just to bulldoze it, and it goes faster and it costs less in the long run.
So what it came down to is foundation. Those containers are welded to I-beams underneath, so there's no decking. So if we remove them, we're going to have to deck that whole thing, which is extremely expensive. And so just the foundation alone would cost probably almost close to $100,000 before you even built a structure. Where with the tubes, you've got a strong structure right now, and you don't need a decking because of the steel undercarriage. What he's suggesting to do, Rick, is to spray foam insulate it. So he would fur it out with 2x4s and then spray foam in it so that there wouldn't be condensation, cut all new windows in. The biggest issue is the overhang. Right now it's a box, so the water drips down and into the windows, as we all know, and then mold and mildew. He would put on an actual peaked roof with overhang, so when the rain came down, it wouldn't go on the sides. So he's actually got an interesting plan that Bob concurs with, but I think it's probably, it would probably be pretty good. Their latest idea this morning, I met with Bob, is to carpet up the walls for a wainscoting, and that would actually give it a warmer feel. And then also included in that $150,000 would be to put a mini heat pump in it. So, you know, like you see the mini splits like we're going to use in our office, so that there is heat and air conditioning in there, which makes a lot of sense.
So you'd replace the windows and make it tight?
Yeah.
And condensation wouldn't because of the insulation?
Right. So it would be a nice structure when it's done. Mm-hmm. And it would last for a lot of years.
Like Cambridge Island?
Yeah.
A little piece of glass here.
For a lot of people, that'll be the first place they see of Kingston. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to hear what you're talking about.
Would, as I recall, when you come out of the gerbil tubes there, they're still not a real short walk, but it's uncovered. Is there any thought about putting some kind of covering there for?
There hasn't been any. No, it'd be wide open the whole way.
In their business plan, they thought that the wood walkway outside the tube needed to be improved. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the discussion?
Part of the discussion is refastening some of the planks. The planks are in good shape, but they're kind of curling up, and they're going to need some refastening. So that's part of the idea, what we would do. You don't want to catch heels on it and stuff.
Would they build the boarding ladder?
Yeah, they would have to.
For their boat.
Yeah.
We had one, but...
Yeah. The other option, the other thing that needs to happen, if you've been out there, and I really would like to take one of our Tuesday meetings and actually walk out there with the commission so you can actually see boots on the ground. The float is going to need maintenance and repair. It was done, I don't know why it was done this way, but they actually welded the hoops to the platform, so there's no way to disconnect the barge. It's a permanent structure right now. It really needs to go to Seattle and get sandblasted and painted at some point. What my fear is if we don't do it in the next 6-8 months, we're going to have to disrupt service for a couple months to do that, and that's not an option. So that's another discussion I want to have with Casey, is we feel that this needs to be done now. You guys can pay for it over time, or you can pay for it up front, but this float needs to be done. I contacted Foss Maritime. Foss Maritime is a company that did Paulsbow's float, did an excellent job for Paulsbow. They're coming out next week to inspect, and they thought they could just come over and cut the pile hoops off. You know, when you think about docks, you think about pile hoops, you think about a little piece of metal, or out there, they're 36-inch piles, and each pile hoop is 1,400 pounds. So it's a little different situation. And what FOSS recommends is after they cut them off, they would salvage them and make flanges so they bolt on, so that 5 years, 7 years from now, when we need to do it again, we can just unbolt them and move it over there.
I think that Aqua Express put that in, so it's been there a long time. Can a surveyor gas-free the tank and go inside and measure the wall thickness of the...
They can.
See if there's any significant degradation of the integrity.
We did have a diver go down, I want to say 3 or 4 months ago, and re-zinc it. So they're all new zincs on, and he did dive the platform and thought it was in fairly good shape, but you can only tell underwater, you can only see so much.
It would be kind of the structural beams inside are corroded or things like that. Or
the plate. Who are you using to do the diving?
Michael Roth, Roth Diving Services.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If we have to take that thing out of service to refurbish it, that's going to be a week or more of interruption.
Yeah, he thought 14 days just over there. So I want to make sure that it, I'd like to in June when the ferry service starts to have an impeccable dock that is welcome to Kingston. Because I'm expecting a lot of people to come from Seattle this way too, not only be a one-way service.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't get a second chance to make a first impression, as they say.
I don't think the port should commit the cash reserves to do the upfront cost. The upfront cost would something we'd probably want to finance, and they would pay the debt service and the reduction rather than deplete our cash reserves. $500,000 is a pretty big chunk of cost there, and I think that would be a cost center cost like we're doing the covered mortgage, if that's the way they want to do it.
We could certainly.
I'd be interested in you bringing back a proposal that covers all of that. Looks at the whole thing.
Sure.
Envelope calculation, the cost of bringing the boat back and forth from Bremerton every day for a year is almost $150,000, just as a why it might make sense to spring forward.
Could they fuel in Seattle?
No, not the way it is right now. Have you been to Seattle lately? They temporarily moved the water taxis over next to the ferry. It's by the fire department. So they're redoing their floats. It's going to take a year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Casey didn't believe they were going to be able to fuel there.
So the maintenance float is not a fueling float for them. Okay. Just wondering. Because then they could... Well, it still wouldn't work.
That's why
the boat's over here when it goes to sleep. So
that's why the Port of Bremerton invested in fuel for Bremerton.
How long did it take for them to permit that?
Didn't take... any time at all. They used it as an extension, and we've contacted, we wouldn't have to permit ours either. As long as you've got a certified fuel system, we're not changing tanks, all it would be is an additional line. So it's no different than putting just another pump on a dock. It's just 900 feet away.
How about Blackwater?
Blackwater, if we do it, we would do Blackwater at the same time. There is potable water out there right now. So we wouldn't have to deal with that. But Blackwater, they would like to be able to pump the sewage out.
I think we mentioned that we've been approached to have a grant to put in a Blackwater facility. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. But they felt the people, that's not swim, but it's something equivalent, thought that this would be a great place to have a Blackwater facility for commercial capacity. Mm-hmm. But I think we're outside that grant cycle now.
We can look into that.
Yeah.
When will you, do you anticipate having reached a point with Casey that you can come back and lay out, here's what we think needs to happen?
I'm hoping by next week's meeting.
Okay.
So we're meeting this
Excellent.
Week and trying to discuss what needs to happen, what does it need to happen this year, and how much it's going to cost, and who's going to pay for it.
Excellent.
I won't be around for this, but there is also what will the usage room address between
right.
us
right.
and
that's
that, and that's
that.
That's
yeah.
more than just
yeah,
the upgrade.
I think
yeah,
all part.
I
of
saw
what's
that water
the,
last.
What
night.
Are the components so, of the plan
yeah,
at this
yeah,
point?
Yeah,
it's all part
agreement.
Of it. Yes.
So, other Sam, did you have any comments you wanted to make?
No, not today. Just kind of just regular business.
Well, we were all at the Sail Kingston Cove. Very good, very appreciative. Rita did mention a fleet expansion, so I mentioned to her that they need to let us know what their expectations are for dock utilization. What she said was actually on it before, but still it has to do with replacing the float and what's that float going to be capable of. So they need to, she mentioned that, I think. Yeah.
She told me that night that you had told her that you were going to write a grant application for a chase boat and the replacement of the float.
Here's what it went down. Is Jim had mentioned he'd need help from them to write the grant. And I mentioned to her I would no longer be a kid missionary there, and I could help them write the grant for the float because I'd seen the Silverdale grant. So that's all. I think the float would not be part of the same grant, or the chase boat would not be part of the same grant, but I said next year if the port asks you to do it, I can do it. I have some experience in that area. So that's really where I'm at.
Yeah.
And actually, you might do multiple games.
She was very clear.
Okay.
That there was some level of commitment from the port involved in all this. So I just wanted to put that out there that you get to clarify.
I've been dealing with Butch and Jerry, and as a matter of fact, I met with Butch and Jerry the other day, and they are going to get us that fleet, and they are going to help us at some point with that grant. So I haven't talked to Rita, but those two I have talked to. And,
okay, good.
We didn't have much of a conversation. It was kind of hairy. But the port would have to submit it.
Yeah,
they could not submit it, and there may be more than one granting authority, like NMTA and RCO, maybe more than one organization. So yeah, I mean, we know it's got to be replaced, and we don't want to pay for it. I think Silverdale's was up at about $100,000.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I would dispute Rita's characterization of the commitment.
Yeah. I understand, but the point is when things get said and then they get reset, we have a. There's an episode of action, commitment out there. So I just wanted to put that in your hands to clarify.
Do we need to have a meeting with them?
I think we do at some point.
That way we can get everything on the table.
We always talk about having a debrief meeting with them anyway after the year's over. So I think maybe we should invite them maybe to the next commission meeting to see if we can have a debrief.
We can talk about that and what facility upgrades. I don't think the port should be involved in the chase boat business.
I agree with you. And my conversation with Rita was simply around the idea of if you're going to be expanding your fleet, you need to keep in touch with Jim because we're looking at possibly replacing that float. Mm-hmm. And a joint grant effort would get better reception in many circles.
Mm-hmm.
But by all means, don't go planning an expansion without telling us what you're planning, because we're planning the other direction with a float.
Yeah.
Or expansion of the real estate. That's going to be interesting, too, because there's really not a lot of real estate there to expand.
Exactly.
So I think you're stuck with a 60-foot float. I know. Yeah. And that other one can move around. I think that's... Yeah. So set something up.
Yeah.
I'll miss them, remember.
The other thing I was going to mention is Walt and I were both at that Kitsap Transit meeting. I guess you were there too.
No, Saturday.
And I missed the first few minutes of it, which was apparently kind of a good discussion about the boat that they're getting, the MV Finest or whatever they call it. But I think I was kind of surprised I didn't get any notice of that or see any notice of that. Barb happened to get a notice from Keita, I think, and asked me if I was planning on going. I said, going to what?
I think, wasn't it on your schedule? I thought Sam had it on the schedule.
Is it on the schedule and I just didn't see it? I tend to pay more attention to my emails, I suppose, than that. But anyway, I think that those meetings are worth us being there just listening to what, even though it was John rather than Casey. And Jim's meetings with Casey are more granular, but I think.
Yeah, no, I.
Yeah, so it was on your monthly schedule.
On monthly schedule.
That's,
sorry.
No problem. She's pretty good.
Yeah.
She gets all those meetings.
I wasn't holding her accountable. It was them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, nothing else? Any further public comment, questions, comments on whatever?
I know when the city of Paulsboro was looking at renewing its contract, I think, as I recall, it was $210 an hour. But they had an interesting addition to this year's. Anytime a company wanted to do business with Paulsboro, a developer entering into a contract with Paulsboro, that fee, they had to pay the lawyer's fee from Paulsboro's attorney, city attorney, and that fee was $350 an hour. So one way, if you will, they actually dropped the cost to the city of Paulsboro for city business, but sweetened the pot for themselves by increasing the amount that someone who wanted to do business with the city of Paulsboro had to pay. Mm-hmm.
I think that's fairly typical with developer fees, you know, developer development applications.
I don't know if it's applicable here, but yeah. I thought I'd mention it.
Thank you.
One last thing that I didn't bring up, if I may, and that's open house tomorrow. So if you're all 4 to 7 tomorrow, Village Green, we'll have a table there. Be next to the PUD, Public Works, so we can talk about Washington Boulevard, talk about the office expansion, things like that. So if you can make it tomorrow, it'd be great, 4 to 7.
Great. Next regular meeting is the 27th. At one. Here. No, up there.
Up the Village Green.
The Village Green. So I think with that, we're adjourned.
Okay.